This is a psalm of prophecy of the coming of the Messiah. And it speaks of the conspiracy of the world against God. And this psalm basically climaxes with Calvary and, I guess we could say, Armageddon. Notice with me as we come here in verse 1. He says here in verse 1, he said, "Why do the heathen rage and the people imagine a vain thing? The kings of the earth set themselves and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against His anointed, saying, Let us break their bands asunder and cast away their cords from us. He that sitteth in the heavens shall laugh, and the Lord shall have them in derision. Then shall He speak unto them in His wrath and vex them in His sore displeasure." Father, we thank You this evening for Your love and mercy to us. We thank You for the time that You've given us together here and to look into the Word of God and to pray together and to sing the songs of Zion. Lord, I ask Your blessings and anointing upon the reading of Thy Word here this evening. And Father, we ask that You just meet with us tonight. For it's in Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. Months ago, I don't remember how long ago, I did a message titled Messianic Psalms, and we dealt with some things out of this chapter, and we basically divided the chapter up into three areas. And we'll do that again this evening, and we'll just briefly look through these. But we're going to talk about, first of all, the conspiracy in verses 1, 2, and 3, that is the rebellion against God. And I want you to notice with me that as we come back to these verses, many other passages that line up with these, many New Testament verses, but we find that in verse 1 he said, "Why do the heathen rage and the people imagine a vain thing?" He said in verse 2, "The kings of the earth set themselves and the rulers," that at this time would be obviously the rulers among the nation of Israel and also probably the Gentile rulers, the Roman Empire at this particular time. And he said, "And the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against His anointed, saying, Let us break their bands asunder and cast away their cords from us." Now, in these verses, we find definitely a conspiracy and we find a rebellion against God. We hear a lot today about conspiracy theories, and many of them, that's all they are, is theories. But we know that there is a conspiracy that started probably before the Garden of Eden with Satan. The Bible tells us in Isaiah, I believe it's chapter 14, that he wanted to exalt himself and his throne above the throne of God. We also find that he entered into the Garden of Eden and he deceived the first two people that was placed upon this earth. And so there is a conspiracy against God and against His anointed. And this conspiracy has been ongoing throughout the ages. And so we find here that as we come to this, again, Satan, he has unified his forces and together, and he has concluded that God and Christ, His anointed, that they are the cause of all the problems in the world. In other words, Satan is convincing people that God is the problem and that Christ is the problem in this world. All the problems result from God. Now, I want you to notice that here in this passage, here's what they're saying in verse 3. He said, "Let us break their bands asunder and cast away their cords from us." This is what they're saying. In other words, they're declaring war on God and upon His Messiah. That's exactly what this world has done over the years, and that's what they're doing today. They're declaring war upon God. And they don't want God anywhere in the public arena. They don't want God in the religious arena as well. Put God out of everything. So there's been war declared. We read this as we go through the book of Acts, especially in chapter 4. In the book of Revelation, We read about the conspiracy and the war that has been waging against God and against His anointed and against His people. This war will continue to go on until the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. They're saying, now again in verse 2, the kings of the earth set themselves and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against His anointed. This is why we call this a messianic psalm, is because it is a psalm that is centered around Jesus Christ. Now, there's some psalms you may find just a verse or two in it that is pointing to the Messiah. The entire chapter is dealing with the Messiah, dealing with the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so he said in verse 3, he said, "Let us break their bands asunder and cast away their cords from us." So we see the war that is declared upon God. And since God is in heaven and that Jesus Christ is in heaven, guess where the battle is targeted at? Well, you got it right. It's the church and God's people. And so I want you to notice the second thing that we see in this passage. In verses, we see the conspiracy in verses 1, 2, and 3. And we see the punishment, the judgment and wrath of God in verses 4 through 9. He says in verse 4, "He that sitteth in the heavens shall laugh, the Lord shall have them in derision." There's passages like in Proverbs 1, verses 24 through 31, that deals with the fact that the Lord, and this is not a ha-ha kind of a laugh, but the fact that the Lord, the Lord basically is going to have the last laugh. You know, men spit in the face of God. They laugh in the face of God today. We find that in Revelation chapter 14, the judgment of God, the sickle is put in and the harvest has come and the wicked will be destroyed at that time. In Revelation 19, the last 10 verses, reading from verse 11 through the end of the chapter, we find the Lord Jesus Christ coming, His second coming. He destroys the beast. And also the flesh of men, we can see that that when He comes back, that He destroys the wicked and so forth. That's why that the Bible says that He will come with these angels in 2 Thessalonians 1, in verse 8, 9, 10, and 11, that He will come in flaming fire. The Bible says, taking vengeance upon them that know not God. God goes as far as to saying in 2 Thessalonians 2, that He shall send them a strong delusion that they would believe a lie. Right. My opinion is that there is a strong delusion already in the world today. And there's many that have already made their choices as far as God is concerned. But we know that as we come to this, we know that even though that the devil is waging war against God and His anointed, and against His people, His bride, we also know that Jesus said in Matthew 16 and 18, He says that upon this rock I will build my church, and He said that the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. We know that the gates of hell shall not prevail, that God will prevail, and that He will win the battle, and one day this earth is going to be destroyed. You know, when I look at this thing, and I'm going to preach another message on the storm Sunday morning. Last Sunday, we preached the message centered around judgment and centered around God's hedge around His people. This coming Sunday, I want to preach a message on Christian compassion. The Lord Jesus Christ, in the book of Matthew, the Bible says that when He looked upon the multitude, that He had compassion upon them. Jesus Christ fed the multitudes knowing that most of them were not going to follow Him and be saved. But He had compassion upon them. Jesus wept when He looked upon Jerusalem when He pronounced judgment upon them. I will promise you this today, as bad as things are in our area, in Mississippi and in New Orleans, that we will come through this as a greater and a stronger people. And it will bring some wonderful things to pass. There are already people that in our area that I have been thrown out of their front yard because they didn't want to be saved. They didn't want to have anything to do with church, that are got tears in their eyes now and thanking us for having food available so that they can eat. There's people that have lost their jobs. They've lost their businesses. They've lost their homes. We see people staying in tents and everywhere that they can stay right now, right here in our area. But we're also seeing there's some that the Lord will probably never break and save them, but there's some that have been humble. There's some that are talking about, I had a lady today from the Catholic Church come to me and ask me if I would counsel with people down there that they don't know how to handle this. I said, yes, I'll be available tomorrow or Friday to talk with. She said, I'm going to bring them to you. And there's people that are having a very difficult time dealing with losing their home, losing everything that they've got, you see. And so, but we find that we'll come through this as a stronger people. But notice with me that as we come down through these verses, again, it's God's judgment and wrath. He says in verse 4, he said, and he that sitteth in the heavens shall laugh, the Lord shall have them in derision. He said in verse 5, then shall he speak unto them in his wrath, and vex them in his sore displeasure. Yet have I set my king upon my holy hill of Zion. I will declare the decree. The Lord has said unto me, thou art my son. This day have I begotten thee. Talking about the Messiah. He said in verse 8, he said, ask of me, and I shall give thee the heathen for thy inheritance, and the uttermost part of the earth for thy possession. Thou shalt break them with a rod of iron, and thou shalt dash them in pieces like a potter's vessel. Again, over and over and over throughout the Scriptures, we see the reality of the truths that we've just read in these verses. Then in verses 10 through 12, we see the issue of salvation, a plea for repentance. We find again, verses 1, 2, 3, the conspiracy, the rebellion against God. In verses 4 through 9, we find the punishment of God, His judgment and His wrath upon them who reject the Messiah. Then in verses 10 through 12, we see the issue of salvation. We see a plea for repentance. You know, if you were to take 2 Peter chapter 3, verses 3 through 14, and read those verses closely and slowly, you'll find without any doubt that man in general is at war with God. Why do you think the Bible talks about the doctrine of reconciliation? That God was in Christ reconciling the world, not imputing their trespasses unto them. You see, and man is at war with God. We find here in these verses dealing with salvation. You know, in Revelation 18:10, God says, come out and be saved. He says in verse 10, be wise now, therefore, O ye kings, be instructed, ye judges of the earth. Serve the Lord with fear, and rejoice with trembling. Kiss the Son, lest he be angry, and ye perish from the way. When his wrath is kindled but a little, blessed are they that put their trust in him. So we see now the issue of salvation that is being offered to those who are at war with God. I want you to turn with me to 1 Peter in chapter 4, and notice here a couple of verses in this chapter. In 1 Peter and in chapter 4. Notice with me as we come down to the latter part of this chapter. And again, 2 Peter 3, verses 3 to about verse 14, you'll find that man is at war with God. Notice with me here in these passages. He said in verse 17, for the time has come that judgment must begin at the house of God. And if it first begin at us, What shall the end be of them that obey not the gospel of God? Now notice the severity of the verses that we're reading. He said in verse 18, and if the righteous scarcely be saved. You know how you and I are getting in?
Right.
By the skin of our teeth, because we didn't deserve anything. It's only by the blood of Jesus Christ. He said, if we scarcely be saved, where shall the ungodly and the sinner appear? We find in these verses, without any doubt, that those who obey not the gospel of Jesus Christ shall not be saved. Turn back with me, please, to the book of Psalms in chapter 2. In Psalms in chapter 2. Now, let me just give you, I think I've given you some of these, give you a couple of verses to jot down. In the area of where God will punish, Proverbs 1, verse 24 through 31. In Revelation chapter 14, verses 15 through the end of the chapter. Revelation chapter 19, verses 11 through the end of the chapter, you see the destruction of the wicked. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verses 8, 9, 10, and 11, we see that. And then 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, where the Lord shall destroy those who obey not the gospel of Jesus Christ. The salvation is offered. And again, the Lord says, come out. This is clearly a tremendous messianic psalm. We have the world declaring war on God. We have the Messiah coming. The Messiah is going to rule and reign according to this psalm right here. One day. He's ruling in heaven now. He'll rule upon the earth in a future day. And then we have in verse 10 through 12, the salvation of God offered to those who have declared war upon the Lord. And you know what I've seen, and I don't know what all is going to happen, but I've seen a man today that we have prayed for years with tears in his eyes today. And probably the first time in all the years I've known him, probably for the first time, he spoke very highly of the Church of Jesus Christ. I'm not talking about victory, bad just this, but he spoke very highly when he seen what we were doing and seen what others were doing and asked where all of this was coming from. I said, Christians all over the country. Christians all over the country. You know. And so I believe that this is going to change some hearts. I really believe it. He'll make some of them harder, like Pharaoh. They'll curse God. But I believe that it'll change hearts of many people from here throughout New Orleans, all across the country. You know, we was out here the other day, and people driving Red Cross vehicles. One man from one vehicle from Nebraska, Oklahoma. Truck pulled up out here this afternoon. I think they're going to set up out here for a while if they can get back down this way. And they pulled in, and I said, where are you from? They said, Pennsylvania. Absolutely amazing to me. And it's the churches in Mobile, some churches in Mobile that are cooking the food to send down here to people that's been hurt. It's God's people. FEMA is a joke. They are a joke. And they end up messing up more than they'll ever help. It's God's people that is rising to occasion. There's been vehicles down in this area from our hometown and from northern states and western states and all over the United States have come to the Gulf Coast and to help. And we've had calls, I mean, from probably 20 or 30 states. What can we do? I wish we could come. Can we send someone? What can we do? What can we do to help? You see. I'm going to stop right there and let's take up a prayer request.